This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Wentzamo Kings Meadow, the podcast that follows our fantastic women's team. This is your Manchester United review, the match that took place today, Sunday the 26th September, that finished Manchester United 1, Chelsea 6, which is very nice. Joining me is the new co-host, Dane, the famous double Ds, but hopefully we're not a pair of tits, Dane. Welcome back. How are you doing?
Yeah, cheers, Dane. Yeah, very well. Very good day watching Our wonderful women's team comfortably take United apart. We've even beat all our scores out, didn't it? You know, very surprising, but we all had us winning, so not too much of a surprise there.
Yeah, I did say that we were due a good performance. We was under a bit of scrutiny for the opening day defeat, and we were going to hammer United 3-0, and we did that at half-time, which is how much we did that to Manchester United today. So, yeah, very pleased. We might be joined by Mia Eriksson at some point in this podcast. It's all a bit last minute. Less said the better. Let's get into some team news, some stats. We started our new 3-4-3 formation. Anne Katchenberger in goal, Millie Bright, Jess Carter and Magda Eriksson to back three. Neve Charles, Sophie Ingle, Melly Leupolz and Guru Wrighton as a midfield four. And then Frank Kirby, Pernilla Harder and Sam Kerr in attack. Jon Andersen came on for Neve Charles in the 60th minute. Georgia Fox replaced Guru Wrighton in the 79th minute, as did Bethany England for Frank Kirby and Jessie Fleming for Pernilla Harder. And then Drew Spence came on for Sam Kerr in the 84th minute. This left Sakira Musovic, Anik Nguyen, G. So Young and Carly Telford as the unused substitutes for this game. Chelsea had 49% possession, 16 shots, 9 on target, 4 corners and 4 fouls. All those stats courtesy of BBC Sport. Dane, this was obviously a huge game, and we started very well, didn't we? Really pressurised United and made them an error straight away.
Yeah, it was even before we scored, you know, we was pressing with high intensity, and I think, yeah, we come across to Kerr missed a chance early on. We won't say missed a chance, she put it wide from outside the box, but within minutes, exactly the same sort of scenario. And this time it was Kerr over to Kirby to sort of, she took a bit of a heavy touch, Kirby, but then she tapped it in. But it was unfortunately a mistake from our old blue, Hannah Blundell, who was pressurised into passing that across the box, which is always dangerous and quite criminal in defensive sort of standards of the game.
Yeah, just, this is last minute, so I've missed saying that I actually got the team spot on in our preview show, which if you've heard that, you'll see that was spot on the selection. And that's probably the first time ever that I've got the team right from Emma. She likes to throw a curveball, but I've got her thinking at the moment, I think. So, I just wanted to mention that. You mentioned Hannah Blundell there, a mistake. We'll get to her later, Agent Blundell. This is what she's now known. But, you know, that Kirby Kerr connection straight away, and that was Fran Kirby's 50th WSL goal. She's only the third ever player to do that in WSL. Do you want to speak a bit about Fran Kirby, just, you know, the player she is? I know Emma said after the game she's run out of ways to describe her, so hopefully you can do better than that, Dane.
Wow. Yeah, well, she's just amazing, isn't she? She gets better every year. She looks so lively, so full of running, you know, scoring, just that perfect teammate. You know, she's always trying to produce and look, you know, she's not a selfish player. She always looks to put a pass through to you rather than shoot. You can just imagine. And amazing last year. And if they're all ticking, when they're ticking, Kirby and Harder, and with Beth England to come in at any point, it's such an amazing attack, which is probably the best in the world. But Kirby, yeah, I get frustrated watching her for England. I just don't see the same sort of play. I don't think she has the same sort of freedom. It seems like they sort of put her in there, sort of square pegs and round holes sometimes. But yeah, for Chelsea, she's amazing. Emma loves her, we all love her. And wow, it'd be so exciting to watch her this season. I think she's going to emulate last season and more.
Yeah, I think this switch actually to the sort of, I think it's a two and a one. Some people have it just as a forward three. But the way they can either be as a 10 or she can be furthest forward, as we saw for the goal, she's in that central position that Sam Kerr you think would be in. And actually for Sam Kerr's goal, that's where she swapped places then with Fran Kirby, and she's got her goal from that. So the fact that they can interchange and be flexible, I think that's going to be terrifying for so many defences. And as you say, a perfect start to this game. The second goal, wow. What can we say about Pernille Harder picking the ball up on the halfway line? Absolutely roasting another former Blue Maria Forrestotter. Just beating her for pure pace, control on the ball, and what a lovely finish as well, Dane. We spoke a lot about Fran Kirby last year, but obviously before her, Pernille Harder was the player of the year. How blessed are we to have her in this team, and how vital is she now in this new formation? She's going to be in next level, isn't she?
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. We're so blessed. You know, literally, What I wrote down on my notes is literally what you just said. Wow, just wow. It was an off-your-seat moment, you know, the speed, power and determination. And to then finish it off with that dink lift over Mary Earps was an amazing finish. And we all know she's got that in her locker. It's funny, Emma said afterwards that, you know, she was still good last year. But like we said on previous podcasts, you know, she still had to settle into London. She came over here, you know, in a COVID struck year with lots of lockdowns. Luckily, hopefully, her partner would have helped her settle in a lot quicker than she would have been if she was just alone. But yeah, well, I'm expecting to see so much from her. She started the season so well. She looked so lively in that first game against Arsenal, so impressive. And I just love seeing her run. As I said to you earlier when we were talking off air, she's so fast. Because she does it in long strides, it doesn't look like quick short start snaps, but she just strides past people with those legs of hers. And yeah, brilliant. But she was in brilliant all game.
Yeah, and I think the fact that she's had the pre-season, whereas last year she came the week after she lost the Champions League final, she joined Chelsea and then was on the bench. This year she's been there all summer. She didn't go to the Olympics, of course, and I think we're really seeing the benefit of that as Chelsea. Early on in the season, she was the best player against Arsenal. I think she was the best player against Everton as well. And I think, again, she won player of the match in this game as well. So that shows you the level. And I know that Kirby and Kerr do get the headlines. As Kirby, they sort of get put together as a double act. But it is all through Pernille Harder, in my opinion, that allows them to achieve the levels that they achieve. And I'm sure they would agree with me if you asked them. The third goal, sort of a copy of the first, wasn't it, Dane? Forward pressure. This time, Kirby getting it into Kerr, and an easy finish for her.
Yeah, again, they were the orchestrator of their own sort of downfall, United. Again, I was sort of alluding to before that, you know, I know this is the way that their new manager wants to play, having experience with him, with watching him, a lot of his games with Orlando Pride, very stubborn, very set in his ways, but that's his choice as the manager, and he wants him to pass out of the back. And unfortunately, you know, they nearly got caught three or four times in this game. They got caught two times. And again, it was, you know, but as I said, you can only praise us, you know, the intensity of our pressing and pressure, you know, just caused them to panic. And again, that led to the third goal.
Yeah, I just want to say, if any opposition manager happens to catch this podcast and you want to play out from the back like that, yeah, be our guest, because we will absolutely feast on that all game. And as I said, 3-0 at half time in a game what perhaps we were, maybe some of us expecting to be a bit of a close game. Fantastic, wasn't it, Dane, to be 3-0 up and sort of the game was put to bed already, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's funny because we contradict ourselves. You know, well, I'm going to contradict myself because I predicted 3-1. But then I'm not surprised because we've got, as we said, we've got Kirby and we've got Harder. If they're running at you, then it's going to be a nightmare for defences. So we shouldn't be surprised if we're scoring 4, 5, 6 goals with them three. And you're right, I was, because I'd predicted 3-1, it was 3-0 at half time. I was like, oh, I don't want to sit through the second half and just see one United goal. But yeah, obviously there's plenty more to come in the second half as well.
Yeah, you mentioned the United goal and that came next. And it was a mistake from Jess Carter for a poor clearance. But there was also a big gap in the midfield, I would add. And then obviously the shot takes a deflection and goes past Berger and hits the post and goes in. What did you make of Jess Carter? Because I think she's more settled in that central role than being on the right-hand side. Obviously, we've only conceded one goal. What do you make of her performance? Did the mistake just sort of a blot on that or more systemic of her?
It's harsh, isn't it? Because if you're a defender or a goalie and you make a mistake, it ultimately, a lot of the times it comes to a goal, whether if you're a striker and you miss, you know, it doesn't make much of a difference because you're likely to get another chance. I thought she had a good game. I really like her in the central role. Well, she struggled a bit in the Arsenal game on the right, but the next game and this game, she was in central. Yeah, she just had one little mistake and Millie tried to block it, but it obviously took a deflection off her and went in. I think it was definitely on target, so they've given it to Alicia Russo, you know, and I did like the look of her. You know, they said that she's a former academy player. She was a captain of our development side and played one league game for us. Said she was off air, you know, I know a little bit about her. I know she went to college soccer in 2 years in the ACC for North Carolina Tar Heels and highly thought of. She won a lot of awards, a lot of accolades over there. She was a United Soccer Coach's first team All-American selection. And that was the first time in about 8 years that team had a player. The last one was our very own Crystal Dunn when she played for the team as well. I think she was also voted the ACC Offensive Player of the Year. So, yeah, I really liked the look of her, Alicia Russo. She hit crossbar later on. But getting back to Carter, no, I think I really like her in the middle. And I'd keep her there. She looks really good. She's not really got much competition to push her out. It would only be if Millie went back in the middle and then someone went on her right.
Yeah, I think obviously we've got the game coming up next Tuesday or Wednesday against Birmingham. And I think Nick Lewin's going to get a start there. So that's going to be, I think for me, that's the player that will ultimately take that position from Jess Carter. And unfortunately, you can't allow mistakes like that at the top level. Luckily, it didn't really affect the game too much because just a few minutes later, Sam Kerr got a second. She was offside. She did catch Blundell out, but perhaps she did that because she was offside. Obviously, we was on the other end of this in the opening game when Beth Mead was far away offside. This was a bit closer, but still offside. Emma Hayes was calling for VAR, but it's referees that need to be better, isn't it? They need to be full-time, in my opinion, and not making these mistakes before we can start bringing in sort of millimetre lines. What's your opinion on sort of the offside and VAR?
Yeah, it was offside. And, you know, I was quite critical after the Arsenal game when it was very cliche of the commentators to say, you know, it will go around, you know, it's like a merry-go-round. You get these decisions against you and they catch up with you as the season goes on. Because I didn't expect within 3 games we'd get a decision in our favour like this. Emma was very critical after the game, but she must have listened to our show because after today's game, she said, I understand I was very, you know, talking highly of bringing VAR in early, but we need to sort out referees and linesmen need to be better. And that's literally what we said after the Arsenal game. So she was very honest there. She said she admitted it was offside. Listen, Kerr is not going to know that at the time. A little bit of a scuff, but then she finished it greatly. She gets herself into some amazing positions, Kerr. She's such an intelligent striker. And, you know, she's not going to wait for the flag to go up. She's just going to finish it and then see.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're taught, isn't it, as a kid? Play to the whistle, and Sam Kerr's done that. She probably does know, but you know, they showed professional enough to get in there. And as Emma said, you know, the referees and linesmen need to do better to stop these decisions happening that are wrong. Like we said, we had one against Arsenal against us. Now we've had one for us. The decisions do even themselves out over the course of the season. So we're not going to cry about it because it was for us. So we don't really care. we did cry against Arsenal. But
yes, we did. Yeah.
We're not going to cry today. Then sort of late in the game, two more goals. One from Drew Spence after good link-up play with Bethan England. I know you're a big fan of Bethan England. I am too. Seeing her hold the ball up like that is a reminder of her talents, and she can always add something off the bench, can't she?
Yeah, I think she's been on form. She looks really good this season. It's so hard to try and find a position in front three when they're all firing on all cylinders. Felt a little bit sorry for her today. You know, it was that 70th minute. She was her and Jessie Fleming were on the side ready to come on. I think it took them 8 minutes because Emma changed it, and she then decided that she was going to bring on Drew Spence as well. She told him just to wait back a little bit, and then the ball was just in play for about 3 minutes. So they're just waiting for it to go out. But yeah, it must be hard coming on in a game where when it's, you know, you're 4-1 up and you want to impress, you want to try and improve. And yeah, totally professional from Beth. You know, she did some good hold up play. Unlucky not to get into a chance for herself, but you know, she's done a brilliant layoff to Drew Spence, and it was a brilliant finish as well for someone who was sitting on the bench for 75 minutes. To this is the midfielder we're talking about, not a forward, to come on and put it in bottom corner. She clearly enjoyed it, and we obviously enjoyed it.
Yeah, you think about Drew Spence when she comes on, she's like a safety blanket. She's there to shore up the game. Although we was winning 4-1, sort of just keep things ticking over. But actually, she was quite far forward in this game. A lovely finish, she said. And for the last goal, she was the one through one-on-one with the goalkeeper, forced a save, and it fell back to, can't believe I'm going to say this, it fell to Jessie Fleming. And Jessie Fleming scored a goal, and she scored a goal for Chelsea. What a moment for everybody involved. I mean, social media has been going on about Jessie Fleming scoring for Chelsea for so long. I thought it was never going to happen, but sort of a perfect way for it to happen, sort of last minute in front of the Chelsea fans as well. Jane called it on camera. I think that's on our social media already. A great moment, wasn't it, Dave?
Yeah, it's funny, going back to what you said about Drew Spence, she made two bursts forward. Once she scored from and one she nearly scored from. And even I was thinking, wow, she's getting forward really quick. She's not just coming to like just to sit deep and to stop them scoring anymore. She got a little bit lucky. Listen, you'll need luck in football. And it was a ball across the box. And unfortunately, a clearance hit our ex-blue Maria in the face. And it fell kindly to Jessie Fleming, who sort of put it away. It was a great finish because it's still not easy. We've seen plenty of great strikers miss from close out, and she was remember she'd been on the bench as well. You know, she's probably itching to get on to try and prove something, and she's you know, substitute again, or what am I going to get, 20-25 minutes? But yeah, it was a great goal. She looked so happy, you know, the whole team looked happy, and even when the game finished, everyone was running over to go and congratulate with her. And it's, well, you know, I instantly thought of you when she scored, and got a big smile on my face. I thought that was my Dean Mears moment of the match.
Yeah, I got a couple of messages, sort of, they thought of me more than Jessie Fleming that she scored, which was quite fun. And as you said, sort of the cherry on the cake, wasn't it? To win away is always difficult. To win away against, you know, your rivals is even more difficult. But to win 6-1 is quite special, isn't it? And we should remember that when we're talking about this game. Although we say how good we are, you know, it takes something from your mentality of your team to go away from home. An absolutely, you know, fresh opposition. And I think we should shout out actually the supporters from Chelsea that made the journey. Jane was one of them. That's why she's not here now, because she's still travelling back home. But they made a lot of noise, didn't they?
Yeah, we could hear them. The players really praised them on social media. And after the game, Pernell said it as well. And yeah, it's great. You know, they've gone up there in numbers to support our team. And yeah, no, it was a great performance. I don't think we would have won as open if Casey Stoney was in charge still, because she had them like really structured and really organised. And as I said earlier on in the show, Mark Skinner is obviously trying new ideas and implement his thoughts, and they was a little bit struggling with them. But yeah, no, when this is us, this is a podcast about Chelsea Women's, and they were well, to my eyes, I thought they were brilliant. And although Emma's the manager, and she said afterwards, well, we didn't play that great, but, you know, just keep them on their toes, obviously. And but yeah, I thought it was amazing. And again, you know, I didn't have any complaints. There's a couple of niggly little things that I noticed, but apart from that, it was almost a perfect performance.
Yeah, I think Emma mentioned the clean sheet, didn't she, after the game? And you know, these are the things that make the mentality of the squad so good, because they're striving for perfection. And you could say 6-1 is pretty perfect, but they would argue that 6-0 is even better than 6-1. So it's great to sort of still hear these sort of things after the game, isn't it? That they've got that mentality of being better.
Absolutely. Obviously, when she was brought over for the after-match interview, and they just wanted to praise her, and she was like, well, hold on a moment. You know, I didn't think we played great. The goal was an error we conceded, and I did not like that. And if we're going to praise, let's start praising the substitutes who were amazing. So she's very good at just keeping everyone on their toes and everyone level-headed, and said, you know, like the Arsenal game, you know, this will not decide if we win or lose the league. You know, today is a great step forward to obviously banish those first game of the season thoughts and memories. But, you know, she's not silly. You know, she's been there 10 years. She's to me and you, probably to all us, she's the best ladies manager in the world. And, you know, she's going to notice things. That's why she's got the job, you know. That's why she's got the job, and we're here sitting about it. She's got an eye for football, for coaching, for tactics, and she would have seen things she doesn't like too much, and she would definitely let them know.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're glad to have her, of course. In Emma we trust is the saying, and, you know, that's that. So that's the goals. Manchester United 1, Chelsea 6. Just want to say it again to get it in there. We're going to look at now some bits outside of the game. I want to start with Neve Charles, who struggled against Arsenal in the wing-back role. She didn't really provide much cover for Jess Carter, who got roasted by Vivian Miedema. She missed the next game. She lost her place to Erin Cuthbert, who took the role off her. Erin obviously injured in international duty, so that freed up the space again. How did she do for you, Dane? Did she make a case for herself, or is she still struggling to adapt to now a wing-back role?
I think it is. I think it's just an adaption, you know, because you corrected me last week when, you know, when I said I preferred her playing in a more attacking role, and you said that Emma sees her as a right-back, a right wing-back, and sees her in a Lucy Bronze mould. So it's an adaption period. It's something she's going to have to used to time those runs perfectly so that you don't get caught out in the back. I thought the first probably 10, 15 minutes she got caught a few times, maybe actually more 20, 25 minutes. Galton getting in behind her. I think Ona Batalé as well, the Spanish left back, got in a few times behind her. But then she settled down and I thought she was actually playing well. And then it was a bit of a surprise that she went off quite early. I don't know if she did get a knock or they were just wanted to give obviously the other players some more minutes in their legs. But I thought she settled in. She looked okay. But, you know, sometimes it's hard to take passengers in football, isn't it? And if she's learning in a position in a top team where expected to perform week in, week out, it's a lot of pressure on her.
Yeah, and when you're playing against good teams as well, they know your weak spot and they know where to target, and it's just going to highlight that. And Arsenal did it very, very well. That right side was very weak. It's stronger now, Millie Bright can cover there, but still it had its problems in this game. And we know, you know, from the men's team, you look at Ben Chilwell, you know, a £50 million defender, excellent towards the end of last season. But as a wing-back, he struggled to get his place from Marcos Alonso, who's perhaps more expertise in that role. If they switched to a four, you probably wouldn't have Alonso for love nor money. You'd always have Ben Chilwell. So it's all about, you know, her learning the position. What do you think about Erin Cuthbert there? I think it's a bit of a waste of her talents being stuck on the wing like that. I know she created the goal for, was it England last week? It hit the bar and then hit Bethany England, went in. Last week, 2 weeks ago in the Everton game. What do you make of Erin there?
Similar to what I said about Neve Charles, I like them both a little bit far forward and maybe inside more. Erin's got a really good energy on her. She's got a good engine, so she can easily get up those flanks up and down. And she had looked really impressive there. On the previous show, I said, you know, Erin seemed the odd one out a lot last season. So at the moment, she's just going to be happy to get in this team in any position. And it's still a winger sort of role, even if it, you expected a hell of a lot more defensive duties if you was just playing the average wing or the average right midfielder. Yeah, I'd like Aaron there. I would like them to have a good battle out between Neve and Aaron. I think Aaron was there obviously on merit, and she did. I thought she was brilliant against Arsenal. But yeah, like you, I'd like her further forward. But can you tell me where? Unless we change our position, you know, change our formations, it's hard to find a way. I know sometimes she played, if we played three in midfield, she'd be on the right side, and she looked good there. It's hard to find a position for her at the moment if we're sticking to this formation that Emma started the season with.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you where after this very short break, because we're going to let Mia join the chat and we're going to hear what she thought about the game, see if we spoke absolute nonsense or we've made some good points or not. So, yeah, join us after this little break and we'll be back with Mia.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Chidge.
JK, in all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chidge, I'd be bereft, inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great. But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK. And best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. And where do I sign up, Gidge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Real fans, real opinions.
I'm Jason Cundy, and you're listening to the Chelsea Football Fancast. Up the Chelsea!
Footballfancast.com.
Welcome back then to Entomo Kings Meadow, the Manchester United review show. We're joined now by somebody that knows what they're talking about, thankfully. No offence, Dane. And that's Mia Eriksson. Mia, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm just trying to figure out if I have food in my face right now, or because I just got back from Linköping Stadium. I've been shooting their game this evening, and I did catch a hamburger on my way home. So, am I good or?
Yeah, good.
I can't see our ketchup stains. Don't let you double check that.
No.
Yeah, no, definitely not. No mustard, no. Maybe.
No, well, good. So. I'm going to try to get my pulse down a bit and then we can talk.
Well, while you sort of recover for a minute, we've obviously gone through the game already, as listeners have heard, but what did you make of the game? What did you sort of take from it overall? Who was your star player and what really stood out for you in the way that Chelsea set up to beat Manchester United and beat them convincingly?
Yeah, I think that I'm going to start with what I think that Manchester United did good, but didn't use to their advantage. And that was the midfield battle. I think that again, it was no play in the midfield at all. The ball just went from the back to the front, and then Chelsea scored as usual. But I think that Manchester United's midfield was more balanced. They had Jackie Cronin, that was, she was really good. She dominated that area quite a lot. And then I thought that, I tweeted that I saw a game in the game between Magdalena Eriksson and Kirsty Hansson. Also, I think Kirsty Hansson did well. She won that game in the game. But otherwise, I think that Manchester United looked sort of like they lacked confidence, especially at the back. And the players for Manchester United that played really well was Ona Batier and Jackie. And Chelsea, I have mixed emotions about this game because I'm very happy that Chelsea won, obviously, because I didn't think that they were going to win with these numbers. But then I just started to think that, is this really the gap between the top three and teams like Manchester United and Everton? Because I don't think that's not good for the WSL at the moment. So I just found myself thinking this a lot while watching the game.
Yeah, well, we spoke obviously in the season preview about a stronger WSL, more competitive fixtures. Everton have lost 4-0 to Manchester City and Chelsea. Manchester United have now played a big team in Chelsea and lost 6-1. Although Manchester City are losing right now 2-0 to Arsenal, so perhaps Arsenal is the team this year that is going to be the strongest out of the three that we face, obviously losing to them the first game of the season. You mentioned the midfield battle. Before we went to a break, we were speaking about Erin Cuthbert as a wing-back and Dane questioning where she goes. I think she goes into the midfield too. We saw today Nogi, obviously on international duty on Thursday playing a game, so probably a bit too soon for her. Dane, you thought it allowed Melanie Leupold to be a bit more free in that midfield with Sophie sitting. What did you make of that duo?
Yeah, obviously Sophie did seem to sit more, but I think Mia was absolutely right. We did miss the midfield quite a lot. We've obviously got something right, me and you, because we mentioned Ona Batley and how we thought she played really well and she was getting in behind Neve quite early on. And then I did write down that Hansen started really well and she was causing problems for Magdalena. Yeah, I like Melanie Leupold. I just, if you're missing out the midfielders, like Mia says, then they do to an extent become passengers. But that ball is an advantage ball and it comes off so well. And we always seem to take advantage if we've got, obviously, Harder, Kerr and Kirby running in. The balls are always open. They're so intelligent with their runs. They interchange with each other, like we said earlier, like similar to a Barcelona team of about 15 years ago in that 4-3 formation where, you know, 1 minute you'd have Messi on the right and Henri on the left and vice versa, and they'd swap and intertwine. You know, the Chelsea front three are so good at that. And you can see Emily Bright would always go for that long ball a lot. So it does miss out the midfielders. And if those are the tactics that Emma's going with, it's who are we to start questioning it?
Yeah, Mia, it's what we call tap-tap boom. As you know, we're going to get it on T-shirts one day. That's why I don't understand why G plays further back. I don't understand why people want Jesse Fleming to play further back because they're not there to play football in a sense. You know, that's why I think Erin will be very good there because one, she can run and two, she can tackle. And outside of that, they don't do too much else, do they?
No, I'm having a hard time figuring out stuff, you know, while watching, because I think it's like you said just now that there's no midfield in play But I want to say that one thing I really thought that Melanie Leupolz did really well this game, because the first goal, it was Pernille Harder and Melanie Leupolz that set up. Because that, you see, Harder goes up to press, and then Melanie Leupolz just follow her to press, and then
impacts.
Yeah. And then the goals just keep happening. So it's sort of a football that just involves high press and long balls from the back to get them into the back of the net. Yeah.
The commentators over here, Mia, was trying to liken us to the USA, USA Women's World Cup winning team, where we hunt in packs for like 10 minutes, press, and then we stop, and then 10 minutes later we do it. And I think, yeah, a bit cliche. We obviously did press well and press quite high well in certain times, but I don't think we were similar to America's game plan, which won them the World Cup.
No, I think so too. And the Swedish commentators, I'm gonna then I can tell you what they said. They said that Chelsea's backline is not that stable. The back three. You can see that when they hold the ball just 1 or 2 seconds too long before they do something with it, they are vulnerable. But United, they didn't take advantage of that. So,
do you think that's just because the new manager? You know, I was saying earlier on in the show, I've got a lot of experience of him from his Orlando Pride days, and it took him a long time to implement his ideas in Orlando. And they used to get out a lot of their games because they had really good attacking players like Sidney Leroux, you know, like Marta. And he would come out of the game and say, it's a process, it's the long haul, you know, we've got to stick to my ideas, it will come through. And again, them playing out the back, they kept on doing it, even though they was making mistakes. So I said earlier, I don't think we would have won that game as comfortably if Casey Stoney was still in charge.
No, I totally agree with you there, because I don't think I saw that much of Leah Galton. As an example, I mean, she was kind of prominent for Manchester United last season before she got injured. Now, no one was prominent except Jackie and Ona Batje. So I think Chelsea did what they did do best, like they did last season. And they made Manchester United look like they did versus Barcelona in the Champions League final. I mean, the goal was typically Chelsea goals, except, and now I'm not going to say this because I'm especially about Pernille Harder, but that was the only goal that didn't came from like tap, tap, boom, because she ran half the pitch before she scored with three United players around her. But yeah, I think it was a solid Chelsea performance. But I heard that Emma Hayes said when she was interviewed after the game that she didn't think that they played particularly well. So, I mean, yeah, I can agree with that.
Yeah, but then they don't ever play differently to that in these big games anyway. They always play 49% possession in a game they've won 6-1. Really doesn't make sense if you haven't watched the game, how you do that, if you don't understand how they play football. They've always played, get that ball forward just as quickly as possible, because up there you've got Harder, Kerr and Kirby, and that's where you're going to get wins and score goals. So I've heard they haven't played well, but they've actually executed her game plan perfectly, because they've highlighted their weaknesses, which is put pressure on their back four. I think Reading exposed that a couple of times in the opening game of the season and probably should have got something from that game. So they haven't played maybe pure football. Some people like to see having the ball and passing it through midfield, but they played effective football. And that's something we've always admired of Chelsea.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's move on away from Manchester United, though, and on to that front three, because Mia, Kirby and Kerr get headlines, but today Pernille Harder got player of the match. She was the best player against Everton. She was the best player against Arsenal. And it's great that she's getting the recognition now of what she does and what she enables Kirby and Kerr to do, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen Pernille Harder play football without the football as much as I did today and versus Everton as well. I mean, she runs like hell. And it's like, I don't know if you guys just saw this sequence, but it was one sequence when she came up centrally, just to stop in front of the penalty area when Kirby had the ball outside to the left and Pernille Harder was totally free and unmarked. And that was that was a situation I would have bet like £100 that she would have scored if she got the ball. Instead, Kirby did what they usually do when they end up in that situation. She placed the ball wide to Reiten that got the ball. And I mean, that's what Pernille Harder does so well. We've talked about it and you've written about it, you know, like coming into that area where the goals can happen. And it's getting a bit frustrating to see that all the time and that she never get the chance to score from those opportunities. And then today she just did it anyway by herself.
Sometimes you have to just get the ball, run the length of the pitch and score.
Yeah.
Just sometimes you have to do that and she's able to. Then I want to talk about something you mentioned when we spoke off air about the game and what you saw, and that was the team dropping into a four at the back when they didn't have possession of the football. And perhaps that links to what Mia said about the Swedish commentators about the back three not being very stable. What do you think about the three at the back? Do you think the four will be long-term? Maybe we'll switch back to 4-2-3-1, or we'll stick with this fluid system where it's three, then four, then three, then five?
I unless I'm mistaken, I can't remember when we had the first game of the season against Arsenal. I can't remember us without the ball switching to a four. Maybe that's a new thing that Emma has sort of come up in training, because Arsenal kept on getting in behind us and pressurising us and there was too many gaps there. I was always a really big fan of the 4-2-3-1, but it's clear Emma likes three at the back. And I can't see her changing unless something dramatic happens or drastic happens where we're really struggling in games. I do worry about the pace at the back. I think we could do a couple more pacey players back there. I do worry, especially, you know, that Arsenal game. Yeah, that was just too much space there and they really took advantage of it, like Beth Mieder, Miedemeyer. But no, I think she's going to stick with the three for a while with the wing backs. I think that's what she's put her hat on.
Yeah, Mia, I've written about 4-2-3-1. I've written about 3-4-2-1. The main ethos is get Pernille Harder in positions where she can affect football matches. Do you think it really matters what position they play as long as they're getting the most out of their best three players, which are the front three?
No, I think here's the deal. A position is one thing. The roles they are being instructed with is another thing. So, I mean, people have to also realize that they play the position on paper, but they have different roles on the pitch, on and off the ball, and in different and depending on where the ball is as well. So I think you could definitely see that. What I think we saw a lot of today that Chelsea did better with the front three was the pressing. I mean, those three, they know how to press as a team, as a unit in the team. You talk about that a lot when you're doing analysis, that it has to be functional units within a team. Like the defense, they are units, and the attacking trident in Chelsea. They are also a unit. And I think that that's going to be Chelsea's best weapon, in the, especially in the Women's Super League this season. It's how they press and how they do it together to eliminate, you know, the opposition to play out from the back.
Yeah, talking about a team and a unit, a squad, Dane, I think segues perfectly into the last player I want to talk about today, and that is Drew Spence, who is the longest serving Chelsea player, who came off the bench, scored a goal and created a goal with her runs forward. This is the type of player you need in your squad to be able to win trophies, to be able to take your key players off, but have a safety blanket of someone like her. She perhaps doesn't get the adulation of the supporters because we talk about the key players all the time, but her role in this squad is vital, isn't it? And she had her moment in the sun today, didn't she?
Yeah, it must be quite frustrating for her. You know, I've just checked quickly. She's 28 and she should be playing regularly, you know, prime of her life. You think it's probably a good 2.5 seasons ago where she was regular in our team. But she's clearly the ultimate professional. She's happy to, you know, carry on in this role. Maybe it's similar to Beth England. Obviously, Beth England gets more of a look in, but, you know, it's not easy for Beth England. You know, she could rightly walk into a lot of teams within our league. But unfortunately, in this team, there's Kerr, Harder and Kirby ahead of her. But yeah, Drew Spence is the ultimate professional, you know, and she's clearly happy with this role. And she only had probably a good 15 minutes if we include injury time. And we were talking about earlier, the two bursts forward surprised us because she didn't just come into screen and sit. She scored one goal with that burst, and the second one, she had a shot away, but it, obviously a lucky ricochet, even a poor knock off Maria's head, and it fell perfectly to Fleming. But yeah, yes, she's probably great. I can imagine Emma only has players in that team who add something off the field as well as on the field. Emma Hayes has openly said, you know, I've sat down with world-class talented players to sign them for Chelsea, and I didn't like their personality, so I did not sign them because I'm not going to rock the boat. And obviously Drew has been around so long, which is clearly great for the team on and off the field, or obviously on when she gets the limited opportunities that she gets.
Yeah, Mia, this season probably is going to be a lot to do with squad depth. There's extra games with the Champions League starting a lot earlier. We're seeing Manchester City feel the full force of that in their opening to the season. I think today they've not got a full bench, have they? Because they've got so many players out. So Chelsea are lucky to have a player like Drew Spence to call on in these situations. And that could be the difference, couldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, of course, especially if the you know, the starting 11 do their job. It's such an advantage to have players like that on the bench that can come in and still make an impact by scoring goals and stop the opposition from taking advantage of the fact that starting players leave the pitch to get rested. Would be feel a little bit better if they had a player like that to add in the back to get the back line to get that rest as well.
Do you rate Mia? Do you rate Nguyen? Do you think she'll be good for us?
Yeah, I mean, she's a starting player for the Netherlands, so, and she's young, but I think she will be a great asset to Chelsea. And I think when you play a back three like that and you have a player like Magdalena Eriksson, I don't know if you watched the Swedish national team play the other week. Just a few days ago. Then she also played in a back three outside to the left. And then she ran awful lot up and down. And I think that could happen as well. And that will put, yeah, it's a lot of games. Let's just leave it with that. So I hope they will stay fit.
Yeah, and having three of your four centre-backs play in a back three every week is going to be difficult in the long run. So that's perhaps why we might see a four every now and then. But January, you know, I think we need to see someone else come in as well. Before we move away from this game and look forward to the next game then, Dane, anything you want to say or add on what was a great win for us?
Yeah, it's again, it's nice for Vermeer to come on and maybe add to our tactical eyes, which she's seen, which we haven't. Just very similar to Emma Hayes coming off the field, and while they're trying to praise us, saying, no, I actually don't think we played that well. It's what your eyes tell you at that time. But I suppose, you know, they can only beat the opposition, very cliche, they can only beat the opposition that's put out in them. And if the opposition is going to make mistakes, then, you know, we need to capitalize on that, which we did. And listen, we've responded well to a bad opening day with two really good victories where we scored quite a few goals. And like I said earlier, Pernille has started the season on fire for me. She's been our most liveliest player. She looks really fit and really fresh. And I think, yeah, obviously optimistic for the next coming games.
Yeah, 10 scored, 1 conceded is pretty good over 2 games against Everton and Manchester United. Mia, any sort of last words on the game or the team or anything in general?
No, I just think it was a surprise, not yet a surprise that the numbers were going to get that high. It was kind of stunning because I stopped watching the game and just started to think, like I said, is the gap really this big? Because then the WSL and being competitive, let's see.
Yeah, I said judge us after 5 games, so we should do the same to every other team in the league as well. But for me, Sunday the 26th of September 2021 will go down in history as the day that Jesse Fleming scored for Chelsea.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a nice name for this episode, I think. But let's look forward then, because we've got a game on Wednesday the 29th of September at 7:45 away to Birmingham City in the FA Cup. The game is available on the FA Player. And I'm sure, Mia, somewhere in Sweden, you watch every single game that's played in the world because you're allowed to do that. So I'm sure you'll be able to watch it as well.
Oh, yeah.
What's your thoughts on how important is this game to Chelsea and Emma Hayes? Because it's last year's competition. Could we see it sort of as a thing we could take our eye off? Or do you think she'll want to win this competition?
I think she'll want to win this competition. I think you have to want to win this competition because it's another chance for a trophy and to start off really good as well. You can't afford to not want to do the FA Cup at this stage, even though it's the last season's FA Cup. You can't afford to just playing that off.
Yeah, Dane, Birmingham lost 3-1 to Everton yesterday. Let me find the table to tell you more.
Yeah, I did see the goals. Their goal was really good. I think it's by Jade Pennock. Really good goal for Burnham. They've had a tough start to the season, haven't they? They've lost all 3 games. They're currently bottom of the table. And you can only presume that Emma will. She needs to get some minutes in the legs like Jesse, like Nguyen. Probably Drew Spence, like we spoke about. Bethany England will probably get a good 90 minutes. Maybe, I don't know about Fox, maybe. Or maybe she, if she wants Neve Charles to really learn that position, then she'll give her a good 90 minutes.
Yeah, I've got an 11 I've written down on paper as we're going through. So let's do that now. I think that Sakira Muzovic will start in goal. Great friend of the show. Jane met her today and said thank you for her signed shirt. I think Jess Carter will stay in defence, the right-sided centre-back, and Inc Nguyen in the middle, and Magdalena Eriksson will stay as the left, just for that experience alongside a debutant. John Anderson will come back in on the left, Georgia Fox on the right, Sophie Ingle will stay in the middle alongside Drew Spence. G and Jesse Fleming will play behind Bethany England in the 3-4-2-1 formation. Mia, do you see that many changes or do you think she'll win the game first and then bring on the players? Because it's still 5 subs, isn't it?
Yeah. I think that taking off Kirby and Harder quite early today, I think they will start. actually, because I think you don't want a game like versus Brighton the last season doing that many changes. I mean, it would be the right thing to do, but I don't think so. Not that many.
And what do you see? Because Birmingham are shown to be terrible. I think Mia predicted them to get relegated, perhaps, or them or Aston Villa, one of the two.
Can't even remember what I said. I did watch the whole game yesterday, Birmingham versus Everton. So.
So are they going to take this game seriously, going up against Chelsea? Are they going to go in with any hope of winning, or are they going to rest their key players for what will be a tough season? So what's your thoughts, Dane? Can Emma afford to rotate a lot?
A little bit. As I said, I think she needs to get a good hour, if she can, 90 minutes into Fleming's legs, into Nguyen's legs, Charles's legs, and Bethany England's legs. So that would be, obviously, Charles already started today, so that would be three changes. And I'm probably siding with Mia Moore as well. Maybe not too much change. I'd have G in there, who's already played a few 90 minutes this season. Probably Kirby and Harder behind England, with G supporting them. I'd still play Wrighton on the left, Charles on the right. Like I said, I'd say Fleming and Spence in the middle, although she might leave Spence on the bench and just put Ingle in there. And I'd have Carter, Nguyen and Maria at the back with Musovic in goal as well.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We'll publish sort of a few different lineups and see what people think. People always say don't change it, win the game first, and then you can sub them off at half-time if you're winning 6-0, which they could be. Having said that, if you look at those 11 players, they all start for Birmingham City week in, week out. There's no question about that. So they should be good enough to win the game quite comfortably, but we'll see what she does. It's a bit of a weird one, isn't it, Dane? Because it's last year's competition. There's still an FA Cup to come for this season as well. There's so many games happening in a short space of time, which means more podcasts for us. But, you know, it's tough on players, isn't it?
It's tough on players. It is obviously the after effects of the COVID hit years we had, which obviously affected lots of sports. And it is good for us. But sometimes you've got to think of the players. You know, it's a long season, lots of games. But you know, if you're a top player playing at a top team, you are playing for a lot of time of the season, every 3 or 4 days. That's why you need the big squad. That's why you need them all fit and ready. Like we mentioned today, the subs came on and settled straight away. And it can't be easy coming into a game where you're comfortably winning 4-1 and trying to impress and trying to show the manager that you can. But they did that today, which you said, Spence, Fleming, Georgia Fox looked good. You know, Bethany England, we always know what she brings. So hopefully, like, three of those players get rewarded with a game in midweek. But you're right, you know, it's good for us, but sometimes the players, you know, they're not robots. They are humans. They do need rest as well.
Yeah, I just think with the Champions League starting very early, you know, we've got Wolfsburg, we've got Juventus, and I always want to say Serviette, but it's Servette, isn't it? But maybe we'll wipe the floor with them, so we can call them Serviette anyway. your players like Drew Spence, like Jesse Fleming, like Jonathan Anderson, like Nguyen, England need to be fresh, but have minutes in their legs as well. So just to go with the same old players week in, week out, maybe hinders you further down the line when them players haven't played at all, and then you're expecting them to go in like we saw against Brighton, and then they can't perform because they're just stone cold. Mia, I'm right. We should change the team completely, shouldn't we? I've convinced you.
Yeah. I mean, I think Chelsea, they have a hard group in the Champions League. But, I mean, I'm probably going to eat my own words by saying this now. But Wolfsburg, they are not as strong as they were last season. So I think you have to take that into consideration as well. But I do think that a club like Chelsea and Emma Hayes and her players, they want to win the FA Cup. And I think maybe that will be their tactics this season, to bring on the same starting 11 to execute the game very early and then bring on the subs.
We will see. Let's get a prediction then and we'll get the hell out of here. It's going to be quite straightforward. Chelsea are going to win 6-0 this time and get Emma that clean sheet. Dane, where's your head at?
5-0.
5-0. Mia?
Then I say 4-0. We have to have different.
4-0, 5-0, 6-0. Let us know your predictions for this FA Cup game. And if we think that we need a name for Kirby, Kerr and Harder, because Kirby just doesn't do justice to Benilla, does it? If you can think of a name, let us know. That includes all three of them. Like the jingle polls midfield, because that incorporated everybody. But Panilla gets left out and does all the legwork. But, you know, we speak about her enough, I think, to G her up. We will be back on Thursday to review the Birmingham City game and look forward to Brighton at home, the game we lost last season. We won't lose this time because I will be there at King's Meadow for my first women's game, because I keep getting disrupted from going. But nothing's going to stop me this time. Fingers crossed, touch wood. Dane, great to see you again. Regular, the double Ds. We didn't make a tit of ourselves. Always good.
That's fair. Very cliche. Yeah, no, really enjoyed being on. It's really lovely hearing Mia's insight as well. Big fan of hers for work for a long time. And yeah, look forward to the game on Wednesday and then obviously reviewing it the next day.
Yeah, and unlike Chelsea, we brought on a super sub at halftime to win the game. But Mia, thank you for joining us and making sure we saw the result out today.
Yeah, thank you.
Make sure you follow us all on social media. The show is at Mo Kings Meadow. I'm at D Mears. Dane is at DWit9. And Mia is at Mia Eriksson. Underscore, that's the one. I knew it was something. They'll be in the description so you can get it right. And don't forget to sign up to our Patreon. Jane's going to put some stuff on there. She doesn't know it yet, but she is from today's game where she was at. Lots more content going on there as well. We've got the newsletter. We've got the Discord. Just come and talk to us. We need some more friends. Dane's fed up and be texting him all the time. We need more people to talk to. As is Mia, probably. We'll see you very soon. Until next time, keep that blue flag flying high.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is, that's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van, unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.